This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're going to seamlessly change directions here. A lot of basketball, a little golf mixed in with the Masters wrapping up round number three today in our first hour. But looking ahead, and you always have to do this, keep an eye on your sports calendar. The NFL draft is less than 2 weeks away now. Starting it off on day one, Thursday, you know, the NFL draft has become an entire week's affair almost with day one, day two, day three on a Friday night. They'll get it going bright and early before we know it. It'll be right on top of it. So I said, I'm going to get out ahead of it. And anytime I want to talk about the NFL draft, I bring on the guy who I think's got as good a grasp of it as anyone I know as far as media members go, who put their draft acumen and predictions out there. He's been doing it with me here on CBS and FAN and WIP and all the stations I work at for years. Ricky Sartella, creator, founder of the NFL Draft Bible, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. Getting close to Christmas, isn't it, Rick?
Hey, it's about that time of year. Jody Mack, great to be back. Always appreciate it, man.
My pleasure. As I said, less than 2 weeks out, before we start breaking down players and talking teams and the like, just generalities. Do teams have their board set? How much tinkering is going on? How much changing of minds are going on? Have teams put their preferences and needs and evaluations in a specific order now, or is it still fluid 12 days out?
Well, let me be the first to say, if they made me commissioner, you know, first thing I would do is make the draft first week of April. Let's have free agency after the draft and do this process right. But to answer your question, Jody, I think, you know, most teams have their board set going into the combine. I think they do some tinkering and tweaking after the combine based on, you know, hey, we have some evenly matched guys. Let's see how they tested, and then we can kind of align them up accordingly. And then, you know, I think right now it's just really like, hey, who can we target in this round? Who are some guys that fit our scheme? As you know, a lot of these teams, like the Cowboys, their board leaked a couple years ago on social media. They only had about 70 or 80 guys up there that they were targeting. So I think you really got to hone in on, you know, who are the guys that fit our scheme? And then also, you know, the agents I'm talking to, teams are reaching out, already trying to secure those undrafted free agent deals. As you know, one-third of every NFL franchise consists of undrafted free agents. So that process is actually already beginning.
Understood. And the players can't come to an agreement with any team because they want to be drafted. They can't, but you can at least get the conversation going. So that's quite understandable. And the smart teams would be ahead of that. I always think it's an amazing thing that the draft ends and then you can have free agent signings, undrafted free agents, within hours after the draft is over and done with. But the teams also know that there'll be other teams reaching out to some of these players, so they play the leverage game. Individual workouts for teams. There's a finite number of invites you're allowed to make. You would think that everyone brings in only players that they're interested in and would contemplate drafting. Is there any gamesmanship going on that you'd bring someone in that you really might not love just to make someone think that you like that player, and maybe you're targeting someone else at a different position that you've got a good enough grasp on that you don't need to bring in for an individual workout?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. That goes on, and I think every team is different. The case by case. Me personally, I want to find out about guys that I'm interested in. I think, you know, you'll see teams that, again, the Patriots are good at this. They'll bring in quarterbacks and just pick their brain. They'll get to know them. A lot of first-round picks that don't pan out, they wind up with the Patriots. They do their due diligence because they want to know, hey, down the line, what were our notes on him? What kind of personality does he have? What's his DNA? So, you know, even though you might not need a quarterback, it might be a good idea if you got 30 visits that you can use. Well, hey, let me bring in four quarterbacks that are going to be considered future starters in this league. Let me pick their brain. Let me find out what they're about. And then that way, hey, if they get drafted in my division, I'm going to be playing these guys twice a year. So any kind of little competitive edge, but I think, you know, just the way the draft has grown, the media coverage, every team's beat reporter. I mean, teams have several beat reporters. Everybody wants to know who they're taking, who they're meeting with. And it's gotten to the point of ridiculousness now where, you know, we just read so much into it. So now teams are trying to throw other teams off because the media is reporting it. So I do think it happens. And, you know, hey, it's 30 visits. You can use them how you choose them. And, you know, that's one of the beautiful things leading up to the draft is you kind of get them in your building, get them up on the chalkboard. It's not like the combine where you only have 15 minutes. You can spend a day or two or three. And we heard the story. The scouting assistant picks up Quinnen Williams of Alabama, takes him out. Hey, we got the company card. We can go to any restaurant you want to go to. Where do you want to go, sir? IHOP. Quinnen Williams wants IHOP. So, you know, the scouting assistant loses out on that one. But, you know, it's a great time of year.
Yeah, but he gets he only has to submit a smaller bill. So he may lose out on a good meal, but he may make brownie points with his bosses if he only's got to pony up for IHOP. And, yeah, I'm with you on the last point that you made because we all hear about the combine, that the meetings, the individual teams get to meet with the kids, and they think that's just as important as any shuttle drills or anything else they may do in shorts. But it's a limited amount of time. You bring them in, you've got the entire day. Is there any qualification, any amount of time that a player can stay with a team, or is it completely unrestricted?
Yeah, I mean, these private visits, you got people picking them up from the airport at night, taking them out to dinner, coming to the team building during the day. They'll go around, they'll do the, you know, what they call the car wash. They'll meet with the different coordinators and the coaches. And, you know, a lot of times the coaches will meet up with the player one-on-one, and then the team will come and huddle up and, you know, compare notes and say, hey, what did you like about him? What didn't you like about him? But, hey, let's rewind a year ago. Hey, Josh Rosen was coming out. You hear not too impressive in, you know, meeting with the Giants. Now all of a sudden you're hearing, hey, well, he can be had for a second round. Well, a team like the Giants might be circling back to their team interviews. Well, you know, maybe he was a jerk, but, hey, he is a smart kid. Can we work with him? We can have him for a second. We were thinking about him at the top of the draft, number two overall. Now we can get him for a second-round pick. So, again, these things come back down the road. You just never know when you're going to have an opportunity to acquire a player that you know, was once considered a first-round pick.
All right, since you went down the Rosen road, let's follow up. Are the Cardinals going to take Kyler Murray with the first overall pick in the draft?
Well, Las Vegas has it minus 1,200 odds right now, so for Kyler Murray to be the first pick off the board. You got to wager 1,200 to win back 100. So I think it's a done deal. Vegas knows a little something. I think it's the worst-kept secret in football. Now, Oakland Raiders will do anything and everything to trade up and get there, but it's going to cost at least two firsts and two seconds, probably even more than that. And even with all that compensation, I still don't think the Cardinals want to trade down. I think, you know, Kingsbury is married to the idea of having a Kyler Murray, and Rosen will be dealt. I think, you know, it makes sense. Quite honestly, I would hold on to him until training camp because, you know, a starter is going to go down with an injury in training camp, his value is going to fetch a lot more if you hold on to him, but it'll be hard to bring him into that kind of situation at the training camp. He'll probably demand a trade. And you know what, at the end of the day, if Josh Rosen was in this year's draft class, he'd be my number one quarterback in the draft. If I was a general manager and I had to put my job on the line, I'd have a tough time looking my owner, my coach, my fan base in the eye and saying, hey, I could have had Josh Rosen for a second-round pick, but I chose Drew Lock or Daniel Jones instead.
Do you think that they're going to get a second-round pick for him?
You know, I'm hearing the best offer they've had so far is a second and a fifth. I don't know what team that is, but that seems to be the best offer on the table right now. And, you know, again, if I'm one of these teams that need a quarterback and I can have Rosen for a second, I like my chances of doing that more than selecting any of these guys in the first round.
Yeah, well, you're a bigger Rosen fan. You were last year, and you still are. I give you credit for sticking to your guns. I didn't like him last year, and I don't like him now. But I will admit, if you can get him for a second if only a second. The original thought process was maybe a third. I don't even know if I'd give up a second for Rosen. I would probably pass. I wouldn't give up a second plus, but you're a bigger fan than I am. All right, so Kyler Murray's going to come off the board number one, be it either to the Cardinals or if the Raiders or somebody else gets nuts and makes an unbelievable off-the-charts offer. He's going to be gone that high. Dwayne Haskins seems to be, all along, was either the first ahead of Murray and or second just behind Murray, falling out of favor with the National Football League, that some of the teams at the top of the draft don't think as highly of him as maybe some of the members of the media like you and I do, and that he's slipped sliding in the draft. How much is there to that? Are teams actually feeling this way? Is this pre-draft fibbing to get into position to land a player like Haskins? Why do you think all the talk of Haskins stock falling?
You know, listen, I got earmuffs on with this one. It's smokescreen season. You got to be careful what you hear. But at the end of the day, this kid's too talented for him to slide too far down. And I think, you know, the media is, you know, making this to be a bigger story. They build you up so they can tear you down, right? And that's what April is for, because now we have all this time. And back to the original question, the team's boards are set. We have all this time. The pro days are done. We have all this time now leading up to the draft, so the media is nitpicking. And also there's teams out there that are hoping Haskins slides to them. So, hey, why not put some misinformation out there and see what happens, because now it's gaining traction. But I find it hard to believe that Haskins is not the second quarterback off the board. I know Peter King said he could be the fourth quarterback off the board, and, you know, you got to pay attention when somebody like Peter King says these things, because he's not plucking it out of thin air. But I just find I have a hard time buying into this one.
You and I both. I'm a Haskins guy and think he's I think he and Murray are about darn even as far as certainly Murray has the bigger upside, but he's got the bigger downside too. And Haskins is more of a stable spot. I'd be okay with my team landing either one of those two guys as far as a potential franchise quarterback goes. All right, if I put Queen and William, Nick Bosa, and Josh Allen, all in one group. Yes, they all play different positions. Bosa and Allen more alike as edge guys. Williams is more of a DT who can move outside. But they're all, for argument's sake, defensive positional players. If I put them in a group, would you draft, if you're that high, if they're coming off the board, 2-3-4, 2-3-5, 2-4-5, something like that, is there a big difference between the players in your grades? If one specifically fits your mode and your positional need, do you move him up above a guy who might have a higher grade? Do you think there's a big difference in the way you grade out Williams, Bosa, and Allen?
For me, if I'm building a team, it's from the inside out, and I love to start up front. And after quarterback and arguably left tackle, the next most important position on any football team, in my opinion, is the edge rusher. You've got to get somebody that can get after the quarterback. And to me, Nick Bosa can do that better than anybody in this draft class. Now, there's going to be some questions. How committed was he to his team? Did he check out? Could he have played? Was it more about him than it was about the team? Those are the questions being asked leading up to the draft. However, I think it's a pretty much done deal. I hear San Francisco is already, you know, working on contract details. And, you know, Kevin Burkhardt, Kyler Murray's agent, the only trip he made on all these visits was the one to Arizona. So I think you could put in Murray 1, you can put in Bosa 2. That means Quinnen Williams is going to be falling into the number 3 slot to the New York Jets. I think you can put that down on paper. And Quinnen Williams here, explosive, backfield disruptor, very young player, redshirt sophomore. Nobody improved their draft stock more than a Quinnen Williams this past year. Now, you will hear at the combine, the interviews were not that great, not too much between the ears. So is there a learning thing there? You know, that I can't make it a judgment. I haven't spent 15 minutes with the kid. I haven't put him up on the chalkboard. But from what I've been told, not the brightest bulb. So that's the knock on Quinnen Williams. You know, hey, at the end of the day, is that going to be a big enough factor to knock his draft stock? I don't think so. Josh Allen was a guy who came back. The NFL told him, go back to school, go bulk up. He did that. He put on about 20 pounds and improved his ability to get after the quarterback. Now, I still think there's some issues there, how his game translates to the next level. Does he have that flexibility and agility to be a dominant pass rusher like he was this past season in the SEC? Well, that remains to be seen. I might like a guy like a Montez Sweat, who was dominant at the Senior Bowl, had an outstanding combine, so he might even be in the mix. But then you have to factor in the heart equation, because at the combine, the medical check, they did allow him to work out, so maybe not as a serious issue, but it was a heart issue that they did detect. So all these factors have to be weighed and considered. So every player that has upside, there's also something you have to weigh on the downside, because 50% of first-round picks are busts. Why? Because of what's in between the ears and what's in their heart.
All right. And last thing, and this was probably the most fun thing I saw on your boy Drew Schweitzer's mock draft, which puts out weeks before the actual draft, and you got to give him the chance to make some changes and tinker with it as you get up to draft day. But the one he put out a couple of weeks ago had two tight ends going in the top 12 picks in the draft, and both of them from the University of Iowa. How the hell did Iowa not win that many if they've got the two best tight ends in football? And they're both meritorious, the top 12 picks in the draft. How did they not have a phenomenal passing game?
Well, you know, you still got to have a quarterback, though, right? But, yeah, no, you're right. I mean, we've never seen this in the history of the draft. Two tight ends taken in the first round. It's as good as golden. Where they come off the board and what order they come off the board. I found it surprising talking to some of the scouts around the league. You know, to me, Hockenson is as good of a tight end that I've evaluated in 18 years doing this. He's right up there. He's my number six prospect in the entire draft. This kid does it all. Fant, so much athleticism. There's teams there that I've spoken to value Fant higher than Hockenson. So it's going to be really interesting to see how these guys come off the board, where they go off the board. And listen, Fant was actually benched in favor of Hockenson early on in his career because of his blocking, but it's not for lack of effort. You know, people knock Fant a little bit for his blocking. He's not too terrible, but Hockenson, he's the whole package. He's the real deal. If you told me, you know, Zach Ertz type of player a couple years from now that, you know, Hockenson was the top or one of the top tight ends, I would not be surprised. I love that kid.
All right, I lied. I got one more quickie question. Which Clemson defensive lineman will come off the board first in the draft?
That's a great question. I'm going to say Cleland Farrell just because, again, you know, 4-3, hand in the dirt, edge rusher that can get after the quarterback. These guys are too valuable. Dexter Lawrence has a, you know, little bit of an injury concern. It could be him. Christian Wilkins, I'm a big fan of, but Jody, you know, there's no true position. Some people like him inside. Some people like him outside. He might be considered a little bit of a tweener, so Wilkins might be third off the board, and then Austin Bryant, the fourth of the the mayhem guys up there in Clemson. He'll probably be day two, early day three.
Mark my words, Wilkins is going to be the best player. I don't know who's coming off the board first. I don't know which way it's going to shake out on draft day. We have the conversation 5 years from now, who's been the most productive. I'm telling you, tweener or not, Wilkins just makes plays and is going to be the end up being the best of those three linemen, and wouldn't be surprised if they're all good, but Wilkins is going to be the best of the bunch. Ricky, good stuff. Listen, if we can get you on, I know it's the last day of the draft Sunday. You're going to be busy right up until be the end or be the late rounds and stuff like that. If you can rip out 10 minutes or so sometime two Sundays from now, we'd love to have you on again.
Hey, you know we'll make that happen, Jody, without a doubt.
You the man. Rick Saratella, the NFL Draft Bible. Check it out, NFLDraftBible.com. Again, I told you, he sent it to me in an email, an attachment. 169 pages. It's got just the best information, updated stuff on all the draft. If you're interested, check it out, NFLDraft.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.